1. Romans chapter 1. Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. We bless the Lord and thank the girls for singing. Thank my sweetheart for singing. And thank the Lord for everybody that has sang and taken a part. And we've just blessed the Lord. What a great privilege it is to stand one more time behind the pulpit. And in the pulpit, it used to be, you know, they used to have them made that you literally got in them.
Yeah.
And they say in the pulpit. You know what pulpit means, don't you? In Anawald, it means pull them from the pit.
That's right.
That's what it means, amen. Praise the Lord. But here in Romans chapter 1, you know the verses very well. And I'm going to read the one verse. You can read preceding that and after if you want to. If you look in verse 16 of chapter 1, the book of Romans, that's where I'll draw the text for tonight. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless you, we praise you, and glorify that name that's above every name. And at that wonderful name of Jesus, kingdoms fall, kingdoms raise up, and hell shudders, and walls crumble. And we bless you, Lord, and praise you that you're in charge and you're still in control. The world with all of that's going on right now around us, Lord, you're still. You know exactly what's happening. And it's right on time. Thank you that you came on time. Thank you that you were in the garden on time. Thank you that you went to Pilate's hall on time. You went to Caiaphas on time. You went to the cross on time. You were on time all the time. And Lord, we thank you and bless you. And when it come time for you to die, when you gave those last breaths, oh Father God, how we thank you that you gave up the ghost back to the Father, but you didn't leave us comfortless. How blessed we are to have the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes.
How blessed we are to have that go-between, only one. We praise you and thank you. And glorify that name above every name. In his name we pray and ask. Please move on the hearts of us here tonight. And amen. So much we can say and so much we think about when we start even praying about the goodness of God. And then we find that we come up short on language. We come up short even as we feel in our very hearts of all that he is and who he is and all that he can be and how wonderful and how blessed we are. Praise God. I'm just saying, glory to God, how wonderful he is. I'd like to bring a message tonight that's been on my heart this day long. And I just pray that it'll help you. It helped me to study it. I like it when I get help from study. And if us preachers would admit it, we had preached everything we studied. And I thought when I first became a preacher, when I first started preaching, actually out in public, 1976, I thought that every verse I studied, God gave it to me and I had to say it. Well, I found out that would make the message quite long. And so I had to figure out a way. The hardest part was narrowing it down to say what I wanted to say in fewer words. Because if I'd have preached what I studied, we'd be here for about 3 or 4 hours every time, and that wouldn't fly very good. Amen. Not in today. Now, I'm saying, I want to talk about tonight, not ashamed, to hold forth the word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed to hold forth the word of God. And when we think about that, amen, we think about Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4 said, he brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. Amen. Y'all know some of that little song, you know. The Lord is mine and I am his. His banner over me is love. The Lord is mine and I am his. His banner over me is love. The Lord is mine and I am his. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. And there's about 3, 4, 5 more verses, and you just make them up as you go along. Amen. I'm glad for that, because his banner over me is love, and we can find it in the scripture. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 2, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. And that would coordinate with that verse of scripture there in Luke chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, shout it from the rooftops. Amen. We have the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed to hold forth the Word of God. The reason I worded it like that, we're not ashamed of the gospel, but we're not ashamed to hold forth the gospel. You see, are you ashamed of anything? I'm ashamed of a lot of stuff. If I think back in my life, I'm ashamed of a lot of stuff. But the Lord saved me from all of that, and the slate is clean. It's not clean in my mind sometimes, because the devil happens to nudge me every now and again and say, you remember back yonder?
Yeah.
And I have to shut him up. What do? I get in the Word of God.
Amen.
To shut him up. Because that's all I can shut him up with. So if you're ashamed of something, then get the Word of God and wrap around it. Praise God. And it'll change. Here we find in the scripture, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. I am not ashamed of his gospel. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed to say it and to know I'm sure. I'm not ashamed to serve and to stay pure. I'm not ashamed to search for others with the cure. Amen. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. We have the message as his children. We have the method, and glory to God, we have the motivation. But I think that's where we slack up sometime. We know the message, and we know the method behind it. Amen. Is to serve and to say it. But listen, we should search for others, and there's where our motivation comes in. People are not just going to come by, but when they do, we have a message for them. Amen? We have a message for them. Then God puts somebody in front of us, or he puts us in front of somebody else. Then that's our cue to talk about him. Amen? I want that motivation. I don't want things to sidetrack me that I can't be able to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, I want to be able to talk to him. I want to be able to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be able to expound on the Word of God. I want the Word of God to expound in my life. I want it to stand out. I think that I have a right. And as a lost people out there, the lost people have a right to know you're a Christian. They have a right to know you carry your Bible. The lost out there has a right to hear you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, they'll come up one day and say, why didn't you tell me? It's serious business. It's not just some fly-by-night little whim or fancy. It's a serious thing. And I want to be on call for God. Amen. If I'm on call for anything, I used to have a job that I was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want to tell you right now, yeah, that sounds pretty good at first glance and first thought. But I want to tell you, don't you know right when you're the busiest is when you're going to get a call?
That's right.
Right when you're absolutely in the middle of something and you ain't nowhere near where you need to be, then you get that call. That's no good spot to be in. I want to be ready, don't you? Praise God. So we find here then, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. Praise the Lord. And then we see something else here. I'm not ashamed of the power, amen, of the gospel of God. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't want to be ashamed of it. That power, you see that power that he has, listen, he'll heal. We know he'll heal. Praise God, and he'll help. And he'll make us happy. Glory to God, because of the power that's in God. For it is the power power of God. Amen. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, you talk about power. You talk about the power of God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I like that, don't you? Praise God. I like that. And I'm glad I called upon Him. Praise God. And I know you are too. We've already sung about it and talked about it. But I'm not ashamed of the power of God, because He'll take care of business for us. It's the power that saves. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's more power. Man, that's dynamite, fellas. That is the power of God. And that dynamite, I heard somebody say sometime back several years ago, that the power dynamite does an inside job. Amen. Yeah. It blows up and it shows up on the outside. Yeah. Glory to God. If a shot is made right, and I've used to shoot a lot, and if you learned way back, y'all, the old fashioned way, drilling in the coal and how to aim your angles and get it all to where just one good shot, broop, and it's done. And you go in there and the machine go in or the men go in and ain't no problem. But boy, if that shot blows out, they'll hunt for you. Where's the shot fire? Where's he at? Hey, the next time you shoot a plate, you knock it down, man.
Yeah.
Blow it to smithereens. But see, the thing, if you do it just right, you won't even hear a big blast. You'll hear a boom. And that's it. Y'all seen those out there when they're on those strip mines, those big large shots, and we put all that fertilizer down the hole and get the primer cord all lined up. I like to see it at night. I like to watch when they set it off at night and all that lightning across the ground going, and it goes, and if it's done right, it don't blow up very high. It just kind of does an inside job. That when you get to digging in it, it's all broke up. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord done the job in you? Just kind of broke everything up. Amen. He broke everything up and separated everything and got it fixed where He said, I'll do a better job than you did. I'll put it back the way I want it. Amen. I like that. That's the way He does His job. Amen. An inside job. Praise God. Hey, I'm not ashamed of the power of God that it saves, praise God, from the guttermost to the uttermost. I can't say it enough. I don't care how low down a person gets, they can reach right up to Him. What was that song that used to be sung? He can reach farther down than I can reach up. Because when He died on the cross, He stuck one hand up here and one hand down to us. And all through that, He was the intercessor. He was the man. He was, praise God, our justification. He was manifested for us. Yeah. He showed Himself. The greatest illustration ever known to mankind was Jesus Christ, the true, one, holy, wonderful, righteous sacrifice that died on Calvary for you and I. What an illustration. I like to illustrate. Y'all know that as I preach. And I'll tell you what. What an illustration that was. What did He say? We say it again. We said it probably not too long ago. Over in John chapter 8. And you can read that where they called Him a liar. They asked Him who He was. He said, I and the Father am one. Boy, that got your attention. Those priests and all of those. They said, wait a minute. We know your mother, but we don't know your father. You're illegitimate. That's fighting words to most people.
Yeah.
Said, no, by the law or any other way, you're not right. You're messed up. They denied the very God of heaven in human form.
Yeah.
And there He said, but when you put me on the cross, my Father will show you who I am.
Amen.
You'll see and you'll settle on that fact. When you read that 8th chapter of John, it'll bless your heart every time you read it. Because they called Him a liar. They said, your lineage is messed up. Then they said, but I'll tell you what, He said, you just keep right on and I'll show you. And boy, He did, didn't He? Didn't He do it? I'm saying the light of the world hanging in pure darkness. We said that last night. But listen, let's move along here and look and see what we have. So here's the power of the gospel that saves. And the power of gospel that secures. 2 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Aren't you glad that you can know that you know that you know? I used to hear preachers say that all the time and couldn't understand it until I found out. And it didn't take me about 3 or 4 years to really truly. I knew I was saved, but I didn't feel saved, and I thought you ought to be able to feel saved.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Well, I look at my checkbook, and if I got $1,000 in there, I don't all the time feel like I got $1,000. But I open it up and look and say, okay. Feels pretty good, right? Amen.
Yeah.
Now if I look in there and I don't feel like I have $1,000 and I spend $1,010, then I look real quick and I say, instead of saying, all right, I'll say, uh-oh, that ain't good. Because now I'm messed up.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Aren't you glad that you can open the book and say, glory to God, it's still there.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad, like she sung of that blood, it's still there. It's still good enough.
Yeah.
There's still enough of it. It wasn't one drop that fell on me.
Yeah.
It wasn't one drop that fell in one area. It was all blood for all mankind, past, present, and future. Amen, glory to God.
Yeah.
There were some fellas one time, I was preaching in a church, and they were four preachers sitting over here on this side right here. And they were watching every move I make and taking notes. You know how to do it, and that's fine. I like to do that. And I hope everybody does try to do that a little bit. And I was preaching, and I got to the point where I said, God saved me, and he saved me from my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. And I saw one say, boy, I don't believe that. About heard him. And I went on to explain down there in front of them. I said, listen, when Jesus died for you, mister, your sins, every one of them was future.
That's right.
He went, oh. It's amazing what we don't think of. Sometimes we misinterpret the scripture. But oh, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of the scripture, when we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts. Hey, when you come in tonight, the Holy Ghost came with you. I know they mean well when they say, may the Holy Ghost meet with us. I understand what that means, and I understand folks saying that. But I want to tell you right now, he didn't come with you. He's someplace else. And if you're here and your spirit's someplace else, you're dead. You can't even breathe. Amen. So I'm glad the Holy Spirit's here and we're here. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the power of God. Then thirdly, we see I'm not ashamed of the salvation of God. Where it says, look what it says now. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Praise God. When we think about that, you look what Jesus did for us. Not only does he secure us, he sends us. In Matthew 28:19-20, hey, he tells us to go teaching and go preaching and go into all the world, and he means to go around the corner, up the holler, down the holler, left, right, hills, hollers, and hamlets. He says, go around the corner and as you can around the world. Well, everybody here is not going to go around the world, but me and Linda are. We feel like it sometimes. That we go so many different directions all the time. But people are going to go. And glory to God, your prayers and your offerings and your help and your concern with our part of God's great ministry. Not that we desire gift, but we desire fruit that may abound to your account. Because one of these days, the places I've preached, the places these fellows have preached, everywhere we've preached along the way, one day we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we'll see souls come by. And Brother Donnie and Donnie, we'll look at that and we'll wonder. And I believe somebody, an angel, the Lord himself will say, these are they that you sent out and went different directions all around the world like a big wagon wheel and spoke shot out everywhere and extended arm of your church by paying and giving to missions and evangelists coming through and so on and so forth. And it'll all go out and they'll say, these are they, and they'll come across. And I'll tell you, that's got to be the most wonderful time in our lives. Oh, if just a few come by. Oh, won't that be grand that you girls sang. One of these days you'll stand there at the judgment seat of Christ and you sang and your heart was in it. Be sure you keep your heart in it and just sang. And one day an angel will reach over and pat you on the head and say, you see these right here? You see these coming through right here? They heard you sing.
Amen.
They heard you sing out there.
Glory.
They listened to you. And you gave them the gospel because the songs you sang got to their heart by way of the Holy Ghost of God. And they came in.
Amen.
And they knelt somewhere.
Yes.
They bowed their head somewhere. They looked to God someplace. And they adjusted their attitude and said, "Oh God, I need you. I want to be able to sing that song."
Amen.
Oh, I've heard story upon story. And I'll relate one right real quick. In a hospital, a person on their deathbed. And I'm telling you, the witness was made to the nurse that said, "You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior." And that person was prayed for every day, every time the nurse came in the room. That person laying in the bed, and as others watched on, would hear her testify to that nurse over and over again. And with great, someone said to her one day, said, "Oh, by the way, as arrangements for funeral was being made, when we knew the day was going to come down the road," and that person said to that nurse, they said, "How can you even lay there and even think about dying? We're trying to keep you alive." She politely said, "Oh, dying ain't no big deal. Getting there is pretty rough, though."
Yeah.
And that nurse slipped away. And I was out and gone. And came back in several hours later after getting some business done. She met me in the hallway. She said, "Preacher Tom, I want you to know something. That lady in there, I want to die like her. I want to live like her." And so I went over in the nurse's lounge and got over behind the couch in the corner and said, "I laid on my stomach there and I asked God to let me die that way right there."
Yes.
And that lady got gloriously born again.
Amen.
Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. That's the way we ought to live.
Yes.
That somebody's watching. We know they're watching. They see us. They hear us sing. They watch us testify.
Right.
They see where we go and they see where we come from. They see what all we do. They see that we stand on the Word of God. Yes, you'll be a little peculiar. Yes, you'll be a little different. Glory to God, I don't want to be like the world. I used to be like the world.
Right.
I don't want to be like the world.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing in the world that really I like. Now, I did. Or I thought I did. But oh, how it just tore me apart. But thank God. Amen. I'm talking about this. I'm not ashamed of the salvation of God. Who He picks. When He picks them. Because if they come to that knowledge that they know they're lost.
Yeah.
And they come in. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad. Aren't you glad that I'm not ashamed? That we're not ashamed of the gospel of God. We're not ashamed of the power of God. We're not ashamed of the salvation of God. John chapter 1 verse 11 and 12 said, "He came unto His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name." Well, that was us. Praise God. But you know what? They mocked Him. They ridiculed Him. They spit on Him. They tried to kill Him. Everywhere He went, He was talked about and criticized. So don't worry when somebody criticizes you for being a Christian. We've been criticized of late. Linda and I and others, same life. Around here and many, all the places we go, they say that we got too much God and that we just got, you're just brainwashing people and all that kind of thing. I say, whoop, 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 glory is what I say. That's good. I'm glad. Well, was it in Antioch? They were called Christian. They didn't come through town saying, wearing big belt buckles that big it said Jesus saved. They didn't have tattooed across their forehead how Jesus saved and how wonderful Jesus is. The lost people and the scribes and even the Pharisees and the priests said, they act like Christ. They must be Christians.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Amen.
That's what I like. Amen, don't you?
Yes.
I like that. I want them to see that. Praise God. That's worth getting revived about.
Amen.
That's worth getting the chill off.
That's right.
See, that's why churches need revival. The chill comes on.
Yeah.
Not because it's wintertime. Hey, there's a chill in our churches.
Amen.
There's a little chill.
Yeah.
And there's a little refreshing needs to come about. It's a little bit of dropping off some more of the world. It's a little bit of getting a little closer up and snuggle up to the warm morning. And the warm morning, His name be Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's the warm morning.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Ain't nothing like getting over behind the stove when you're real cold. Amen.
Right.
Remember you sleep in that cold room used to and the big old fire, big warm morning a blasting away, but it's in another room. You're closed off back in yonder. You got four quilts and you're up to your nose and you can still see the frost and all that on the windows. The frost is on the inside and the outside.
Right.
And if there's a crack under the window, man, that snow would come right in. Oh, I've seen all that. So there's nothing like going, getting out of there and coming all humped up and getting behind the stove. Just a few minutes, you ready to leave out of there.
Yeah.
Amen. Ain't that good?
Yeah.
Time you broasted yourself. Round and around. Getting every side warm. Oh, yes. Well, warm up to Jesus.
Yes.
He wants us to warm up to Him.
Yes.
But you know what? The way they ridiculed Him, He kept right on preaching.
Yes.
Everything they did to Him, He picked Himself right back up, went right on preaching. He never did slack up. He went right on. They called Him a seditioner. They called Him illegitimate. They called Him a liar. They called Him everything. But He just went right on preaching. Well, I guess we'll just go right on preaching. Amen. Praise God. I think we just ought to preach. Everybody's got some preaching to do. Praise God. Hey. Do we care that people go to hell?
Sure.
Why, sure we care that people go to hell. So we're going to try our best to reach those people. Amen. So we see this power of the gospel that saves and secures and sends us. And then this power of salvation, this salvation of God. And it for sinners, for saints, and concerning the Savior that gives rewards. Amen. Listen, this salvation of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained. Amen. That's so simple. And oh, how we ought to fall on the mercies of God. Ought to take what's wrong with us and cast it upon Him. Doesn't matter what's done in the past. It's done and over and gone. But if you're still not right with God, it's still hanging on. You still got it hanging all over you. It's still all around you. It's looking critical all the time. Anything could happen. But oh, when you turn it all over to Jesus. What does He teach us? Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them white like wool. Glory to God, I want to tell you. I'll tell you, there was a lady one time. A woman had three little children and was literally about to starve to death in the day that we live. Didn't have a thing. And she was a horrible person as far as the world was concerned. And she had went to three or four different churches. And they said, honey, you don't belong here.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
She had nothing. She lived in basically a dungeon. And somebody told me the demise, the terribleness of her situation. And she was going to school, trying to go to school and get an education enough to get out of the mess she was in. But she had never been treated right all of her life. From the time she was a wee tiny girl, she was 26 years old and had three children, all dyslexic. All three of them. Special education. Special everything. And she was trying to get it all done. Didn't have enough to live on hardly at all. Oh, but listen. That day that I came by, I stood at the fence. I wouldn't go over very close. I stood at the fence and went inside, just inside the fence of the yard. And those three little kids jumped all over me. Had one on my knee, one on my back, one up on my head. And they just wanted to be loved on a little bit by somebody.
Yeah.
That's all. I had snot on me everywhere. After a while, it didn't worry me. Hey, y'all have all had snot on you and slobbers and then on and on and on we go. Amen? We've all had that. And these little kids was all over me, and I'd wrestle one up on my neck a while, and one down here a while, and I just finally knelt down on one knee, and so I wouldn't stagger and fall and hurt them and me both. She stood away from me, about from here to Brother Donnie. Now get this, I don't want you to miss this story. And this lady did not have anything. She had one eye on an electric stove that worked, one pan and one pot, one table with one chair. Had a bed made up of a mattress, period. They all three slept on the floor, and that place stunk to the high heavens as if the sewage of the whole entire town ran through that room. Now that...
I went back and got my wife and took her over there because I wouldn't go in by myself and all that kind of thing. And I'm telling you, it was something awful. And we looked the situation over, and I had some resources that I could go get a couple of truckloads of furniture and all manners of stuff. Long story short, that went on for about 2 or 3 weeks getting her set up. And went in there, but watch this. While I was wrestling with those kids out in the yard, she was standing over here with her head down. She said, "Since I've been real little, no man has ever treated me the right way." I don't have to explain. Nobody has ever treated me the right way. I don't know what real love is. And I said, "Let me tell you about a woman in John chapter 4.
Yes,
when Jesus went down to Samaria, said he must needs go by that one place.
Yeah.
And there was Jacob's well. When I was over in Israel, I got to go by there. And boy, I want to tell you, I had myself a time. Because I could just picture that woman sitting there and Jesus sitting on the well curb with her while the boys went into town to go to Long John Silver's to get some fish and more. Or something, whatever they were. Sardines and hush puppies. And they was gone to get something. And while he was there, he asked for a drink.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, who am I to give you?" You know the whole story.
Yeah.
But finally, in a few minutes, just as the boys was coming up the road, they saw some action going on around the well. And they saw that Jesus was sitting there with that woman. And Jesus would say to her, "Woman, I'm different than those other guys that used you and abused you. I'm different."
Amen.
"Said, I'm going to give you a drink that'll last forever."
Amen.
She threw down her water pots and ran away with the whole well. Said, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God." Amen. Amen. She couldn't wait to go tell the stories. The boys came in and said, "Lord, what's been going on?" Jesus went and started singing the song. "We've been working on a building, working on a building, working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord." You say it didn't happen. You don't know whether it happened or not. It might have. Amen. Praise God. Yes, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, that's what he does. So this girl said to me, she said, "Oh my soul." Now I'm going to say like she said, okay, don't despair. You've seen worse of this on TV. Amen. And she said, "You think the Lord would save an old whore like me?" That's what she said. And I said, absolutely. I promise you. And I gave her that verse in Isaiah. And here she, now watch. She went down on her knees that far away and walked over to me on her knees. With her head down. And honestly, and I didn't mind a bit, she put her hand on my knee right there and laid her face right there on her hand and wet my knee with tears. I never saw tears so squirt out of somebody's eyes. Those tears have been held back for a long time. Those tears of virtue, those tears of giving up herself, saying, "Lord, come into my life." And she gave up everything. Well, she didn't have anything, but she gave up the most important thing, herself, to him. "I don't have anything to give you, Lord." And that's what she said in her prayer. "But I give you me, Lord of God." I want to tell you, that's what it takes. Lord, it's just me. You don't have to worry about all the frills and all the fluff. Glory to God, just bring yourself, amen. And offer it to God. God promised he'd do it. And boy, he did he ever. I went back over the next week with a big truckload of stuff. You know what? She quit smoking. She quit beer drinking. She quit everything she was doing and was cleaned up and looked like a lady, glory to God.
Amen.
Nobody even told her to do that.
Amen.
But she did.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
Loaded her house up. We probably put $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000 worth of furniture in there that had been given to us. And boy, they had beds, they had a stove, they had stuff. Oh, glory to God. And then a church come to pick her up in a van, took her off the church. And I found out, honestly, I lost track because of traveling so much. But about 3 or 4 years later, I was asking somebody that knew of the story, as personal as I did about it. And I asked them, I said, "Whatever happened to her?" "Oh, you didn't hear. Oh, she moved down into Virginia. She got her degree. And she went down into Virginia. And she's down there working. And she's married and doing really good. Got a church down there somewhere. I forget.
Lord is good.
Down around Richland, someplace I believe is where it was at. But Lord, I'm just saying, I'm not ashamed of the salvation of God. And here, I'm not ashamed to believe in God. Finally, I'm not ashamed to believe in God. You see, this about salvation of God. This salvation of God, it's for sinners to repent. Amen. We know that. I am so glad God saves old sinners.
Yes.
I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, praise God. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, nor the power of God, nor the salvation of God. I'm not ashamed to believe in God, praise God. Hey, to the saints to rejoice over one sinner that comes in, amen. It makes God happy and the Savior that gives reward. Listen, charity covers a multitude of sins. And you know what you can do after that? You can go around killing them with kindness. You can just go around murdering folks with kindness. You always wanted to murder somebody, didn't you? Well, sure we did. Every time we talked about somebody, we was committing murder. Might as well level up a shotgun. Oh, I'm just talking. Y'all getting it? Hey, go kill them with kindness. If you want to kill them, put on the armor of God.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, no matter what you wear, whatever you wear, be sure you're covered with the armor of God.
Amen.
And then you'll understand the standard has put down for God's people. Amen? Put on. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you wear a 1995 muumuu. Y'all remember those girls? Those Mother Hubbard gowns that covers everything, touches nothing. Amen? We got awful quiet right there. I believe everybody all of a sudden drew a picture. Amen. All right, listen now. Watch it. Of the salvation. And look at this. To believe God's word and will. Amen. I'm not ashamed to believe God's word and will. Because he teaches us to do what? Separate yourself. Oh, yes, he does. He said, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them. Amen. Come out, be something different than the world and what they expect. I don't know if the people in the recent 3 or 4 years have told us, you mean y'all don't go do that, and y'all don't go see that, and y'all don't know what that movie is, and they mention movies to me, and I don't have the foggiest idea for the last 25 or 30 years what certain movies. You go back past about 30 years, I might can tell you a couple of shows or something, but I don't even know what they're talking about anymore. I don't have time to watch all that stuff. I don't want all that world in my mind. I don't want my mind messed up.
No.
Oh, heavens no, I don't want that. I'm just saying, come out from among them. 2 Timothy 2:15 teaches us, to believe God's word and will. Amen. I'm not ashamed to believe that. And I'm not ashamed to believe where it says to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of that a bit in this world. I'm not ashamed to teach people and tell people and show people that we ought to go study. I'm not ashamed of Psalm 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious sheaves, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Glory to God. We can bring in the sheaves, you say, but I don't know where any sheaves are. Hey, the woods are full of them. Go get you some of them.
Yeah.
They're out there everywhere. They're anywhere. They're all places.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he teaches us, you know, that we can. When we think about that, God wants some souls. I'm glad to believe that God and his word and will, that I believe it. Amen. I'm glad that I believe that, and I'm going to go do it. I'm not ashamed of that in none in this world to be a sower, you know, because you remember the sower where the sower went out to sow. Some fell by the wayside. Some on thorny ground, some on stony ground, but some of it hit on good ground. You add that up, and that's a fourth of our witnessing might accomplish something. The rest of it, of course, we know the story about that. Didn't seem to accomplish anything. What's it talking about? He sowed on the way to the field. Because he went by the wayside.
Yeah.
He was sowing seed by the wayside. Here's what it reminds me of, and I'm about done now. I'm glad I caught your attention for this limited amount of time. But listen, when I'm at the gas pump, I'm by the wayside. I'm going out on soul winning. I'm going out to visit somebody. I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to somewhere. And I have to go. I look and I say, whoops, I got an hour. That means I can go get gas.
Uh-huh.
While I'm standing there, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. I'm by the wayside. I'm supposed to sow seed. Somebody pulls in beside of me. I got a gospel tract in my pocket. I had one somewhere. And I reach it over to the fellow. I said, why are you pumping gas? Read that. Guess what? You're sowing by the wayside. You ain't never got to where you're going yet. It's another 40 miles down the road where you're going, but you're just on the way. Hey, might have stopped by Walmart. Everybody stops by Walmart.
Right.
Even people that hate Walmart. My wife hates Walmart. But every now and again, you'll find her going down the aisles. She's fussing a little bit. I don't like this place. I don't think you go in here. Walk my legs off, still can't find what I want to find. If I ever pastored a church, it'd be the Walmart Baptist Church.
Amen.
That's where everybody goes, and everybody's got money. How about that? Wouldn't that work?
Amen.
Or I might even start up the McDonald's Baptist Church. That's where all them old people hang around. Hey, I want to tell you something, folks. Listen, I'm not ashamed to believe God's word and God's will. But we can do that. Hey, listen. Listen, now just in closing, look at this. We can expend all manners of energy in trying to find out where the next haunted house is instead of worrying about whether or not to have a hallowed house.
Yeah,
we worry about the next scream machine that the carnival has or someplace in another state, and we expend all manners of energy to go. And that's okay. You want to go scream? Go ahead. Puke while you're at it, because that's what I do. On any roller coaster, almost anything that goes around and around and over and over and over, it's over in 30 seconds for me and ruins everything. You can do that. That's all right. It's okay to do that. It's all right to do that. But take that same amount of energy and go try to get somebody to God. Amen.
Amen.
That's what pleases God.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, we spend all kind of energy getting ready for Christmas, getting ready for Thanksgiving. And it is good to be thankful, whether one time a year or 1,000 times a year. It doesn't make any difference. We ought to be, the gift giving ought to be year round. But we wait till Christmas time and have a big blowout and go into debt and all manners of things sometimes. I've done it before. I ain't done it many years. I ain't going to do it. But anyhow, and we expend all this energy for all the wrong things. And it's okay to buy a gift. It's okay to watch the kids. I mean, I'm not against all of that. But I'm telling you, we expend a lot of energy wrapping stuff and doing this and that. And if we're not careful, we'll get like the world. And all we'll see are the gifts.
Right.
And never see the one special gift that was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yes,
that's what the world's done. You think I want to leave that crowd?
No.
It bothers me when somebody says, "Boy, I can't hardly wait till Christmas and all the cookies and all the..." And I just wish they wouldn't do that. I just like for people to come up and say, "Brother Donnie, boy, I'm so glad we get to celebrate again the birth of the Savior. Though we've celebrated all year long, every Sunday, every Wednesday, we just keep celebrating it. We're going to culminate it all at one time around the 24th and 25th. Have a big blowout." Now a lot of that's fine. The tinsel, the lights. Why don't we just do like some I've seen? Just turn them on and burn them all year.
Yeah.
Hey, it's pretty good. And you think about it, you're celebrating Christmas all year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can't hardly wait till we can do all that energy we spend on that. And when Easter comes, we've got bunny rabbits and we've got eggs. Ain't got nothing to do with one another. And guess what it is? One of the most important times of the whole year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And all the little bunnies and chickies went right after. See, that's what you get in your mind. My soul, we expend all this energy concentrated toward the Savior. Concentrate it right toward the Savior. That's what we're supposed to do to it. Glory to God, that's what we're supposed to do to it. Father, in Jesus' name, how we bless you tonight. And how we praise you for this time spent with these precious folk. Oh God, how these have become just like our own flesh and blood family. But it is our own blood family in the Lord. But Lord God, we're all different people and all have different preferences and those things. But Lord, help us to build our standards upon the Word of God and the things of God. Lord, we realize there's a lot of things that we do in our lives, but ever let us look to you for guidance and strength and wisdom. Would you revive us in this latter days, Lord, because we're going to need to be revived, because days are coming where we're going to have strength. We're going to have to understand about the power of God, the power of salvation. Oh God, and the salvation of God and all the rewards of God and how it all comes about. Oh God, remind us ever yet in our minds and in our heart that you, there is a God in heaven, and he looks down with mercy and kindness, and there's hope in those words. Oh God, ever remind us that we are to take responsibility as Christians and take accountability for our actions as Christians. Would you, Lord God, I pray to give us that special touch as only you can give. Revive this church and revive every individual and revive up and down this holler. Touch every church. I don't care what denomination it is. If they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in any form or fashion, ever stir in their hearts and let the Holy Ghost of God move in a very special and unique way, Lord, that we can boast and brag only. Yes, the Lord, he is merciful. He is merciful and will endure forever. We thank you, Lord. Save a soul tonight. Strengthen the brethren. Give the preacher liberty to shut it down or extend it on out. We'll bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Donnie, you come. Come on. Folks, you need something from God. As things are being prepared, why don't you right now slip out of your seat? You say, I don't have to get out of my seat. That'd be good. If you don't have to, God's not leading you, don't you do it. But if he's moving in your heart, why don't you just slip out? Why don't you just slip out and come on and begin to pray? It may be probably to pray for someone. Be an intercessor. Let your supplication be made unto the Lord. And then call out the names of those that's on your heart. Would you do that tonight? Would you do that? The music's going to start in a minute. We may sing. We may just have music. But whatever it is, whatever it is, let God speak to you and you act on what God said, if you would please. Thank you.
Let's stand. Number 181 in the red book, while we all stand and sing. And maybe God spoke to you tonight through the message tonight. Amen. I'm not ashamed. And Brother Tommy mentioned all those other things, and really that part of our way of life and our American culture, but sometimes we get so caught up in that, we're not ashamed to do those things, but somehow we're ashamed to be forthright about the Lord and all those things. And why should we be ashamed to talk about Him?
Yeah.
Why should we be ashamed to advertise Him? And why should we be ashamed to tell others about Him? Maybe you need to just slip out tonight, come pray. Let's come and pray for nothing else. Come pray for the meeting. If not for nothing else, come and pray, Lord, don't let me be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to be a bold witness.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the Scripture says they spake the Word of God with boldness. They were not ashamed. I don't want to have to hang my head and be ashamed one day. Before Him, there in heaven, I don't want Him to be ashamed of me because I was ashamed of Him down here. I don't want to be ashamed of Him here. And I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. You know, He did say, if you confess me before men here, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. God, help us not to be ashamed. You may want to come. Maybe you have someone else to pray for tonight. Maybe you have a burden on your heart. You like to bring it to the Lord. The altar's open, and we invite you to come. While we sing, let's sing verse number 1. Okay.